I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
One, two, three into the foe. Snoop Doggy Doggy, Dr. Dre is at their dough. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up. Cause you know we about to rip shit up. Give me the microphone first so I can burst like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Cause ain't nothing but a G thing, baby. Two loped out niggas, so we crazy. Death Row is the label that pays me. Unfadable, so please don't try to fade me. But back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfection, so I'ma let them understand from a young G's perspective. And before me, they got a bitch, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning a man and learning a man, and at the same time burning a man. Now you know ain't shit, Lieutenant. You know I ain't with that shit, Lieutenant. Ain't no pussy good enough to get burnt while I'm up in it. Yeah. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod, Ed,
Karen.
And we're live on Saturday. That's right. And we're ready to do some podcasting, guys.
Yes.
Even though I think my headphones are still acting stupid, so I have no idea what's going on now.
Okay.
All right, it was acting all right for a second and then back to stupid. All right, anyway,
I'm about to say you can swap it to the other side.
I'll try to tough it out.
Okay. Karen,
for the culture, for the black people,
I'm trying to help you. I'm like
listening,
swap it to the other side
for a second. All right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Black Guy Who Tips, leave us 5-star reviews. We're going to read those 5-star reviews today on our feedback show, as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport,
it's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And like I said, this is a feedback show, so we're going to read your comments on our website, theblackguywhotips.com.
Mm-hmm.
Each episode we post, there's a little section where you can add comments. Boom, it's easy. See, you leave a comment, we read it. We got polls on each episode. Vote in the polls. You can leave comments there as well. You can leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We got some on iTunes, none on Stitcher. And you can also leave reviews for our other podcast, the Blackout Tips for Movie Reviews, which is also on iTunes now. But it's way behind. It's like just the first 60 episodes so far. We'll catch it up as we drop more each month. You can also do stuff like email us, theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. Got a couple of those. And you can leave us voicemails as long as they're 2 minutes or less at 704-557-0186. That's 704-557-0186. No voicemails this week. All right, let's get right into it and talk about the people who gave us money.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day.
New day, new money. Ashia B, thank you very much for your recurring donation. Same to you, Lisa D. Jane M, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia D, thank you very much, Cynthia. We appreciate you donating to the show. Kelly C, thank you very much for Kelly. We appreciate you as well. Charlotte Wong Esquire, please say the Esquire. She earned that shit.
Yes, Jeff, she did.
Jeff F with a brand new recurring donation. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Hey, baby.
Alfonso M, thank you, Alfonso. Design T, thank you so much, Design. We got a brand new one from Palmetto, Stone Magic. Thank you very much for your recurring donation. Welcome to the fold.
That sound either like a flower pot place or a place that got some banging food. One of the two.
My brother hooked me up, my little brother Rodney. Thank you so much. Celeste M, thank you so much. Autumn W, we appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Jackson,
ooh, I am for real.
Thank you very much. Joy M, we appreciate you, Joy. Kyle K, thank you so much, Kyle. Bambi H, thank you, Bambi.
Yes.
Ashia Y, Aisha Y, thank you very much, Aisha. Donna N, thank you very much, Donna. Kevin W, we appreciate you, Kevin. Pamela AB, thank you, Pamela.
Yes.
Jason F, thank you so much. Our girl Falcons Diva, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We got this from Kavis with a long note, but then she wrote an email later, so I'll just read the email when we get to that, because I know it's real long. But thank you for the new recurring donation, Kavis.
Mm-hmm.
We got Felicity F, thank you, Felicity. Derek L, thank you very much, Derek. Or Derek W, I believe. Harold W, no relation, thank you. Noel W, thank you. A lot of W's coming through. And that's everybody. Play me out, Kurt, while I try to switch these headphones.
Even though I've been here for a while, still, I smile.
Hallelujah.
Smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. Sure would hate to see you give them now.
Cause people,
you look so much better when you smile.
Let's go.
Smile for me.
Whoa.
Can you just smile for me?
Whatever you're in right now.
Smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And the people say,
oh, oh, oh.
Feeling so much better when you're,
oh, oh, oh.
Feeling so much better when you're,
oh, oh, oh.
You look so much better when you,
oh, oh, oh.
You look so much better when you,
oh, oh, oh.
And
you look so much better when you,
and while you
pray, and you look so much better when you
look in the mirror,
and you look so much better when you
always remember,
and you look so much better when you smile.
All right, let's get into our 5-star reviews. All right, like I said, let's get into our 5-star reviews on iTunes. We got a few.
Yay!
I work at a mental health clinic. This is Kenny Jacks, 5 stars. He says, in reference to yay being quote-unquote crazy, our psychiatrist tells our patients that mental illness is no excuse for bad behavior and to curb the behavior that will cause others distress. Because the way you make people feel lasts, and some people won't forgive you because you're quote-unquote crazy. Kenny Jacks from...
Come on.
Not your touch ass. Yeah, I understand, man. I don't think... I feel like there's this weird thing where... I feel like... And maybe I'm being paranoid, but I feel like people think I'm caping for Kanye or something.
Mm-mm.
And I'm not. What I'm saying is I don't know that his behavior and his mania and his, like... bipolar disorder and going on and off meds and all this shit, I don't know that we should be taking everything he says and letting it move the pulse of the conversation. And I think a lot of the reason that he goes viral in a way that other people don't is because what he's saying is so stupid sometimes and so ridiculous that to all of us, we want to dunk on him. You know, it's like he's in a dunking booth at a carnival, and he's in the one where you throw a baseball and it knocks the dude in the water, and we all can throw the baseball and knock him in the water. Like, there's no one he's smarter than. And I think if we examine ourselves, we would find that the reason we cannot stop talking and obsessing over this dude is in large part because he hurt a lot of people with his commentary after being a person that a lot of folks felt was at least racially aware, if not more. So a lot of people thought he was on some like almost activist level shit, which obviously looking back now is pretty laughable,
and he never said he was
right, but it's, you know, I saw people try to attribute like he was some type of black thought leader or something because he was racially aware. But you know, and I think maybe because I haven't ever held him in too high of esteem,
Mm-mm.
I'm not as hurt as other people. So and I'm not trying to be mean, but I just every time he has one of these like things that he does, I'm always like kind of par for the course, but also sad to watch. And I'm not interested in really being angry at him. I understand that makes a lot of us feel better, and I'm not telling anyone they can't be angry at him. That's
right.
Your decision. I'm not really interested in being angry at him. I'm just trying to be transparent and honest and say it makes me sad. And I don't think, I think there's a lot of sadness behind the anger that people are expressing. Maybe I'm totally reading it. Maybe I'm totally reading it wrong,
Mm-mm.
but
I feel like it is.
A lot of the people I see upset were his, you know, some of his best fans, some people that thought he was a genius that, overlooked a lot of his flaws and shortcomings because he was making good music or because you know, he was erring on the side of what they felt was more pro-black, and now they don't have that experience anymore. So I think people are hearing something that they want me to be saying, and I'm not saying you can be have mental illness and then anything you do no one can react to it, no one can be upset by it. That's not what I'm saying. And I hope people aren't taking that away from what I'm saying in order to be, like I said, cause to be upset. Cause I feel like a large part of this is just about ending up at the same place, or you're upset about what Kanye did. I mean, he went to the White House this week and was hugging Trump and shit. And I heard he went on like a 15 minute rant. I didn't watch any of that.
Mm-mm, don't care to.
It makes me sad when I see Kanye acting like that. I can't. You know, I'm not trying, like, even when I saw the TMZ clip, you know, it made me sad. It made me feel like he's not in his right mind. I can't tell what's mania and just him being an asshole or not. I can't tell. I'm not a professional or whatever.
Same.
But also, I guess the part that sickens me is just how everybody's feeding off of it. Like, they know he's quote unquote unhinged and they don't give a fuck because
right.
He's gonna get them attention. Like Candace Owens and the Republicans don't like Kanye. They literally did not fuck with him 2 years ago. They thought he was a terrible person, and the desperation of that side to have black faces that say racist white cover stuff is so palpable that I could be famous as a black Republican tomorrow, even after everything I've ever said, all the stuff I've ever, like, I could just wake up tomorrow and say I'm only going to say Republican talking points. It would take a while, but eventually white people would be like, this guy gets it. All I had to do is be like, I mean Trump said this when he was back in the days, like, if I ran as a Republican because they stupid. And so to see those people kind of surround him, I can't possibly think any of them have his best interest in mind. I don't know the dynamic of him and his family, but I've already seen, like, people talk about, there's a clip of Kim Kardashian saying that he was scaring her and her kids or some shit. So, you know, I don't know, it's like rats from a sinking ship or some shit. And if this is who Kanye is gonna be for a while or forever for the rest of his life, then I'm just prepared to just be like, well, this is the new Kanye. I just don't really fuck with his politics, you know. But yeah, I don't want people to think that I'm saying, like, mental illness is quote unquote anytime somebody does some shit that's bad, like, oh, that's just mental illness. He might believe all these things and be medicated up and everything and on his regimen and still believe this shit. I don't know.
Oh, correct.
I just don't feel the need to, like, dunk on him, because it's so easy and it's also just not gonna change or help anything. But maybe I don't know, maybe some people need to do that, you know. It's just I don't want to participate and I don't want to join the mob on this one, and that's okay, you know. It's not like I'm telling anybody they can't be mad or they can't say anything. I just don't want to join in, and I think that should be okay. I was just thinking the other day this week, too much. My life has been really, really good this year. And I don't mean that just like financially, or I just mean I've been in a much healthier, happy, mentally, like, aware place. And a large part of that was sort of changing the energy within myself and changing the energy of the people that I associate with. And a lot of that took care of itself. It wasn't like I set out this year and was like, I'm gonna get rid of people out of my life. People just fell off on the wayside, because when you don't want to join them in their, like, bitterness and their pettiness and their anger and their, like, the rage and the mob, like, we gonna gang up, we gonna drag people and shit. It was never really my thing anyway, but when you're just openly about, like, I'm not really down with that, then those relationships start to break down and leave you alone, and the stress of those relationships leaves. And watching people complete, like, perform every day and be on every day and today we're mad at The Rock, and tomorrow we're supposed to be mad at the Timothy Ann, and this day we're mad at Kanye. And this way, I get it, some people, that's how they navigate the earth, but I'm not really of that. Like, I try to stay away from that, because anger makes me feel strong, and then I regret the things that I've said and done after I've been mad like that. So all that to say, like, I feel like this Kanye shit is kind of like that. I felt like the Lauryn Hill shit was like that, to be frank. A lot of people were more mad at Lauryn Hill than they deserved to be. I'm not saying you couldn't have been like, man, that was unprofessional, but at some point it turned into like she was like walking up and slamming people's babies on the ground. It's like, y'all are, this is just the thing to talk about today. Y'all don't have like, this is more of the social part of social media. It's the comment of the day. It's the topic of the hour. We all must say something, and each person wants to be a little more hyperbolic than the next. Each person wants to get the attention, more attention than the next person. People need the retweets. People need the, you know, all that stuff. And I think some of the ways where Kanye does stuff and some of the ways that people talk about it is a direct result of we all are talking about the same thing and we all have to talk about it. You know, Lost in the Crossfire, like when we talk about sexual assault, you know somebody, whether they've told you or not, that's dealing with mental health issues. And a lot of their biggest fears is that something they do in a manic state will be something that haunts them for the rest of their life. Now, I'm not saying, like I said, this is not an excuse for it, but it's just, there's some empathy that I want to have for talking about these topics in a way that's real, because I don't want to be saying something to be hyperbolic so that y'all will high five me and I'll get all the like, oh, you really said that shit about Kanye? And then the people that are in my life that are like, so is this what you think about me? Like, if I were to ever be going through some shit, you would just be like, fuck them, you know? Because I've seen people say stuff like, I disagree with bipolar disorder. You can't disagree with a fucking medical condition,
right?
You know, I've seen some of the things people have said, and you know, in their vigilance to like want to knock down his bullshit, which I don't blame them for wanting to knock it down, they've also like gone to the point where it's like, well, now you're just telling the people around you that all that bullshit you say about check on your strong friends and
you don't mean it,
mania and depression and all that, y'all don't mean any of it.
Mm-mm.
You know, and so I've been really avoiding trying to even tell people that shit, because that's actually where I do get angry, because I'm like, y'all are so full of shit. Everyone's so full of shit with the whole mental health talk and shit. Like, motherfuckers be talking about check on your strong friends and bullying somebody else in their next fucking thing. Like, I don't know, it's sickening. So yeah, the whole thing makes me sad. None of it makes me happy. None of it brings me joy. If I end up seeing this rant, it'll probably be via The Daily Show or something, because I can only really take Trump news via the lens of comedy. So anyway, but thank you, Kenny. I know that's a whole long ass tangent you probably didn't want to hear me get on, but you know, I get it. This is not an excuse for him. It's just, like I said, I get what y'all are saying. I'm just not required to be mad about it. And nobody else is. You know, and I think there's more people like me than y'all know, because
right, they're not as vocal, but they're out there.
We're the ones that aren't really like hopping on it or harping on it, you know? So anyway. I love y'all for real. Tag T.A. Gilbert says, my favorite thing about this podcast, Rod's Thoughtful Insight, Queen Karen's puns. I love your banter. It gets me through the day. Keep the podcast coming. Sending so much love and success your way. Food Nerd. Thank you, Food Nerd.
Thank you.
The challenge, hashtag the challenge by Poncho the Chosen One says, this is an informative and eye-opening podcast, but enough of that. Everyone already knows this. I want everyone to start listening to this podcast while getting their salad toss or tossing a salad. I call it the Black Guy Who Tips Salad Toss Challenge. I've currently implemented this in my daily routine, and we usually don't stop until sore ratchetness, so you know we about this life. I want Think Pretty Smart, Leonard Brothers, Joe Spacely, Gourmet Goober, and EVE to bury their face in some cheeks tonight. And if you do the ice bucket, Shiggy, or Zoom challenge, you can do this. Post your videos to Instagram and Twitter. Well, Well, you guys heard the challenge. I expect you guys to get to posting. I don't know. I guess Instagram doesn't have a problem with butts.
I don't know.
I follow a lot of butt accounts. I guess
I follow a lot of butt accounts too.
As long as there's no nipples in your salad toss challenge, I guess you should be fine. So yeah,
butts and cheeks, all right.
Just tag us to it, TBGWT, and we'll
take a peek.
We'll know you guys are out there getting your salad tossing on. The views and opinion of Poncho the Chosen One do not represent Black Outtips. Five stars says not a bot 82. Okay. I've been a fan since Rod was appearing on the Evening Jones. I'm thankful for a show that embraces blackness and provides some relief.
Hold on.
Yes.
Not a bot 82. That means there's 81 other not a bots.
Uh huh. Maybe that's the year
not
a bot.
I'm thinking about that, right?
Maybe that's the year not a bot was born.
Yeah. You want to confirm? I am not a bot. I was born in 1982.
I'm thankful for a show that embraces blackness and provides some relief from the craziness of the world today. Thank you, Ryder Karen. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it for people that left a review for the Blackout Tips podcast. I'll check the spoiler review as well.
Yay! Y'all can leave reviews on there. Even if you're not premium, you get to hear our views on stuff that you may have watched a while ago and want to go back and watch. Leave us a review over there too.
Yeah, I mean, if you just like listening to us talk and don't mind hearing us review movies, there's a ton of them that are out there already. And I mean, it's because we started premium like a couple, maybe 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. The reviews are for movies that, you know, are still around and not that old. I think the first one we ever did was Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
But we got some good ones in there. Dope, Spy.
I love Dope.
Inside Out, we reviewed that. Mad Max, Fury Road, Ex Machina, you know.
Oh, that's another good one.
Big Hero 6, which I think is a movie that made me cry, you know.
Ah, I'm ready for the second part of that to come out.
Yeah, when is that coming out?
I don't know, but I'm ready.
But yeah, we got a couple more reviews. I love this show by KTBGWT. 5 stars all around. Can't say enough about these two. Love this show so much. You would have thought I was the host of the show. Okay, Karen.
Every view counts.
It does. I need to leave a review for myself then.
Every view counts, my dog.
Watch the movie, then come here to find out how it was. 5 stars. Academic says Rod and Karen give their unique insights, a special brand of humor in the movies, and you'll be glad you listened. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Nobody told me I couldn't leave myself a review.
And best reviews, 5 stars by Metaphor I See, who says, I absolutely love listening to Rod and Karen review any and everything. A++, 500 stars. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so keep in mind it's spoiled movie review. So we do spoil the movie, and it is for people who've seen the movie. Don't ever plan on seeing the movie or don't care about spoilers, because
like within the first few minute or two, you're going to get a spoiler.
Yeah, so. All right, let's get into the other stuff. The website, we have some comments and all that stuff on different episodes, and we had the polls. We had a feedback show called We Have the Best Fans, because we do.
We really, really do. We talk about y'all a lot. We really do.
No comments and stuff on nothing on the poll, but the poll was, do you like that booed up song? Because a lot of people have been saying they don't like that booed up song, but
that song is still on the charts, banging.
I feel like it's the same people that tell me that black people aren't supposed to go to brunch or they're gonna be coons. So I feel like that's not the real representative graphic statistic of the actual numbers of black people. And I feel like I'm vindicated, because 58% of y'all said yes, which sounds about right, because the shit is still on the charts and like number one, hit the record. And 24% says no, I never listened to it. That makes sense, but once you listen to it, you'll understand.
Mm-hmm. Boo doo bye doo boot up.
No, but I can't stop listening to it. 17% of y'all say you don't like that song, but you can't stop listening.
I've been making up my own words. All I know is it's boot up.
We had episode 1764. Karen goes through the change. We found out that Karen,
it was warming here this morning.
Because I turned the AC off.
Ah, that makes sense. Because I kept saying it's hot in here.
When did you start? Okay, all right. Well, I'll leave it on next time. I thought you would be cold, because I know you like, sometimes you say you cold.
Oh, I am. But when I was sleeping and I woke up, I just got real warm. Like I said, oh, it's so warm in here.
Yeah, I turned it off before I left.
Thank you, because sometimes, like I said, sometimes I'm cold. I don't mind being a little warm.
Okay, all right. I'm just trying to make it comfortable for whatever you want.
Thank you.
All right. So, the poll was, no comments on this episode, by the way. But the comments were, we had two comments on the poll. And the poll was, do you think Karen is going through the change now? So, Karen, what do you think? Because you were kind of, you sound like you was trying to say you were.
I web MDing myself to death. I don't think I am. I think that eventually I will. Don't know when.
Well, the question isn't when, and what do you think eventually? Just, I'm saying right now.
No.
All right, well, the poll agrees with you. 90% of people say no, the AC just wasn't on that night. And 11% say yes, it started early. And those people are the devil. Why would y'all do that? What's wrong with people? It's like the people that, when I took a picture of the snake in the house and I was like, I don't know, I sprayed it and it ran off and left, like ran outside or something. I don't know where the fuck it went, but it disappeared. And people was like, you know that snake gonna come back. Oh, it's probably got a mama snake living in your boots. And like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? What is wrong with you?
Went around the corner.
Like, what kind of asshole are you? You know I have to live here? Why are you trying to make me fucking paranoid? You know that's not what happened. You sure it wasn't a cobra? Like, no, it's not a 3-inch cobra. Get the fuck out of my house.
She ain't grow no legs trying to rob you.
Can't tell people shit. Brooklyn Shoebag says, I'm 46, and the last 5 or 6 years, I get hot flashes and night sweats when I have PMS, although I'm getting my period regularly. It's a hormonal change gearing up for menopause. It's called premenopause, or perimenopause, okay? If the woman in your family are earlier to menopause, Karen might be on the cusp of starting.
Yeah, I know some of my family members are.
Laketa says, I voted no because Karen's fairly young, but from what I understand, it can be a gradual process or depending on genetics and family history. I'm voting we're too young. Wait, did I say we? I don't mind y'all's theories. It's just the fact that coupled with that I did leave the AC off that time, I think we are kind of skipping over the major, major part of the storyline. I'm not saying y'all are necessarily wrong, but.
Like I did, I skipped over everything. I understood, but I was like, nope, I'm WebMD myself to death.
Like if this was an investigation, then
I would be doing terrible
y'all walked
job.
Right past the murder weapon and was like, maybe.
Guilty.
I know they got bullets inside of them and it's a hot steaming gun right here, but maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. Like, yep. No.
No, it's not the evidence, y'all.
All right. We had episode 1765. Welcome back to the cookout, Tay Tay, which I'm sure lost us many listeners from the title and my jokes. But you know what, guys? That's another thing. Benefit of 40. I don't give a fuck. You can't take these jokes. Get the fuck out of my lawn, okay?
Bust out my grass!
This shit is not that serious. God damn, boy. Kyle says, Karen, I normally agree with most of what you say, but Snoop Dogg is only a few years older than me. He's not old and about to die anyway. That was Kyle. Then somebody named the other Kyle, which has a different IP address, so I'm inclined to believe them. First of all, Karen is right. That other cow is old.
Is the cow on cow fight? What's happening?
Right? This cow on cow violence in our chat is just, in our comments, it's just scaring me. As for Kanye, I read somewhere that he has bipolar disorder. Yeah, he does. I know he has a mental illness for sure, and that he doesn't take his meds. He does talk about that. He said recently he was back on him. I don't know. You know, I don't know. He said he was back on him though. Of course, none of that excuses his actions or the people who co-signed him, like Nicki Minaj. These yes men or women don't care about the Trump shit or his health, just Kanye's remaining clout. I do wonder about that, because I feel like if all of us who don't know that dude can be like, man, this is a bad idea, then I wonder about the people who are in the industry who are like egging him on, like, this is a great idea. You know, like, do they really care about him, or is he just somebody to talk about, you know? And of course, we can never know. I saw Azalea Banks was saying it's a good idea he met with Trump. And you know, we know Azalea got some erratic ass behavior herself, so who knows? Who fucking knows, man? I personally am just at a point where I can't believe that working with Trump is gonna help any black person, for real. But it's not for me to say what other people can believe. You know, Van Jones is one of those people that goes up there and tries to work with the Trump White House on prison reform and shit like that. And I don't know. I told my brother, if Kanye got something out of this and there was some sort of concession given to help with prison reform or something, I wouldn't then turn around and be like, fuck him, da 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 da. I don't do that. I don't believe in all that. So if something positive does come from this, then I'm willing to concede that they knew a better way than me. It kind of reminds me of when Serena Williams went back to the tennis tournament where they were racist towards her, mm-hmm. and when LeBron James went back to the Cavs, and I said I personally wouldn't have been able to do that, and I don't understand the logic and the mentality behind being able to do that. But in both cases it worked out, and they're good for them, you know what I mean? Like, because I can't imagine this stuff working on Trump, it doesn't mean that it doesn't work on him, you know?
You must say Indian Wells,
yeah, that's where Serena went back to. But, you know, him hugging Trump and talking about meeting him with love and shit, if that shit works, it works. I don't fucking know. I don't know everything, you know what I mean? I just could not possibly see it working. And I believe this is a racist president. I don't think a hug from Kanye West is gonna change shit, but, you know, I also do know that he's a fucking egomaniac. I'm talking about Trump right now. And he might respond to somebody kissing his ass in a way that I wouldn't be able to understand, because he does a lot of erratic things, in my opinion. But like I said, it makes me more sad than anything, than angry. But I do understand people's anger, and I'm not trying to dismiss black people who are upset, because as I've said several times in this conversation, I think he hurt a lot of black people, and I think a lot of us are angry. We're angry every day already.
Yeah.
And he's not helping with this. So
nope, he gets Kanye.
Yeah, he gets, yeah, Mia, Kanye is not helping with this. And he's cozying up to, in our eyes, probably the biggest antagonist of blackness right now. And it's hard to watch. I don't watch it because I can't watch it. And I don't want to pretend that everybody else is bad for feeling a certain way about it, you know? Evie says, I admit I used to call Taylor Swift queen of the Beckys. Now I'll just call her Becky. But no, she can't come to the cookout because she could keep her bland ass potato salad to herself. But I wouldn't be upset if someone took a plate home to her.
Good potato plate, wrapping in aluminum foil.
Right. Good potato table speaking up. It may not be enough for some, but if her speaking up motivated people to register to vote, then I'm glad she did.
Same.
Yeah, man, I'm off that. Yeah, I just want to win. I don't really care about liking Taylor Swift or not. Like,
come on,
that's for some other people's shit. And like, I understand that a lot of people don't fuck with her and stuff, and I'm probably just not up on game on whatever it is she did that's supposedly like really unforgivable in our community. But I really don't care.
The same.
I'm not one of those appropriation people that gets mad about that shit. So I'm not in the demo for, you know, whatever it is people got mad or, you know, she did something like that. I'm not in the demo for being mad because her and Kanye fell out and shit like that. You know, like, I'm not in the demo for it, so. But I am in the demo for, I believe people should get out and vote, and, you know, hopefully, we don't know, but hopefully the motherfuckers that registered, that were inspired by her, were thinking, I'm gonna go and vote Democrat because of this. Hopefully. We don't know. There's still probably mostly white people that did that. So, you know, hopefully they're young, because young people do skew more Democrat, but we literally don't know what the fuck our fans think, you know? And if anything, I was just more scared by the fact that there are people that in this climate think I wouldn't vote except Taylor Swift said to.
Right, that speaks volumes.
yeah, like that's kind of the whole thing with the Kanye shit that scared me, was like, oh,
there are people being influenced.
Yeah, like, oh, maybe I was wrong. Like, and I'm completely willing to admit that, because I have an aversion to watching the dude. I'm just like, I'm gonna just ignore it and leave it alone.
Same.
And but apparently that's not most people. So maybe there are people out there that look at Kanye and go, I'm gonna do what he's doing, I'm gonna think like he thinks. And that's really scary to me. All right, the poll was, is Tay Tay invited to the cookout now? I'm not black. 9% of y'all said that. Good job, 9%. Okay, stay out of our shit. This is science. 45% of y'all said never. I figured the number would be a little higher on the never, but I feel you. Not yet, maybe one day. 24%. Okay. So she got a lot of work to do. I understand.
Like somebody said, she can park in the parking lot and watch him afar.
Can we play one song of hers? No, okay, I'm sorry, I turned it off. Yeah, I guess for now, 22%. Yeah, I knew not to put any affirmative yeses, because none of us feels that way. I love the cookout joke, and I'm going to keep making it until 100% of you motherfuckers understand that the monolithic blackness that people espouse is bullshit, and it's just a joke. And until everyone can understand the concept is a joke, the cultural phenomenon of it is never gonna have black unity, and it's always just gonna be something for us to argue about who can and can't come,
right?
Until all of you take the stick out of your motherfucking ass, I'ma keep making these jokes until you just unfriend me, block me, don't listen to my podcast, and don't be around me, because I don't want that negative ass attitude around me anyway. Learn to laugh. This shit ain't that serious. Can't Taylor Swift come to the cookout? Boy, y'all be ashamed. I've seen people legitimately mad. I was looking at Twitter and Facebook like, are y'all serious? Leave that for my mentions. Allegra says, I just don't like Taylor Swift, and it's purely a superficial thing for me. I will always give people their props, even if I don't like them. I stand corrected. Good on Taylor for being vocal and specific in her voice. I don't want her in my cookout, but good that she is on the right side. Yeah, it's gonna be funny, because so much of why people didn't like her is because she stayed in out of shit and stayed in her lane, which is funny, because when you are silent, people assume the worst about you anyway. It's such a catch 22, right? Because if you come out and you say something, then some people are gonna disagree with you and hold that against you for the rest of your life. And if you don't say nothing, people just go, oh, because you're Republican, oh, because you actually hate black people, oh, because you actually love that the alt-right people are fans of yours and shit like that. And then when she comes out, she's like, no, it's like, oh, the clues were there that she wasn't as well. We just chose to ignore them because we don't like her. She represents like whitey McWhiteness, white privilege deluxe. She is like the whitest white privileged person, right? You know what I mean? Like, she just represents all that shit. But you know, like I said, I knew something was up when she did things that were really like I said, like the Kesha stuff, and Demi Lovato was shitting on her, and then people said, well, Taylor did give her money, she just didn't make a big deal about it. Right. And then Demi Lovato still went in, and I was like, this reminds me of so many people that had to go from my personal space, because you got proven wrong and you can't even say my bad. You said a lie about a person, and you don't even have it within you, because you dislike this person. You don't have it within you to be like, oh, that's on me. That's crazy to me. I don't like that kind of shit. I don't want to be one of those people.
Me either.
Like, I'm more than willing to be like, I don't like this nigga, but fuck, man, they did the right thing, appreciate it,
right? And keep it trucking,
right? Don't mean I'm gonna go buy your album. And you know, it doesn't mean you're coming to my metaphorical cookout. It doesn't really mean that. It's just funny that y'all get mad about it, so I keep doing it. Brooklyn Shoebag says, I don't like Taylor Swift for no reason in particular, although I do like a few of her songs. Listen, Shake It Off is a bop, and anybody that tells you opposite is really lying to you and lying to themselves.
Come on, that beat go hard.
And it's really sad to see, like, that's when I know I can't trust a person. If I say Shake It Off is dope and they try to tell me it's not, I'll be like, okay. So you one of those. All right, no, it's cool. We just can't hang out, because I would never lie to you. To make a point, I would never lie to you just so I can look better. Like, you got it. Same thing with when we had to give props to that what's that, the opportunist, Tariq Nasheed.
Mm-hmm.
Mink, that Mink Slide song was good.
Come on, that was flames.
It was good, man. Like, what
that
I
that was a bop.
What I look like coming on this show, pride of myself on my honesty. Mm-mm. And I play that shit and be like,
it's time.
Right. Catchy as fuck. Like, what I look like coming on here lying to y'all. Y'all gonna trust me after that? Cause I wouldn't trust myself. Mm-mm. That shit sounded good.
A bop is a bop. I don't care who made it.
If I just played it at the cookout and didn't tell nobody, y'all be over there fucking electric sliding to that shit.
Mm-hmm. So, but who made this song, baby?
Right. Anyway. I'm gonna need to see more, I don't know, allyship before we invite her. Yeah, I feel you. It's probably not gonna happen. I don't think she goes from not speaking at all to being super outspoken. But maybe, hey, you know what? What do I know? You maybe she'll surprise know. Me. Maybe she'll surprise me. Cause she was in there talking about systemic racism and shit. I was like, what?
Who got a hold of you, honey?
Taylor, you know about this? So, anyway. Laketa says, white women tend to fuck up. Public white women tend to fuck up in public. She's human. Look how old Bette got before she publicly fucked up. Dog, Bette Midler had to. I don't understand if y'all. I was thinking about this. I have never heard Bette Midler was problematic ever.
Mm-mm.
And she might be. I don't know. But I've never heard it. Have y'all in the chat? Y'all got some instances?
Most people were saying she normally on point.
That means Bette Midler essentially made it down the field 99 yards, like 75 yards. Like, she made it to the red zone.
She was the first in goal, dog.
She was like, I'm going to die on some Betty White shit where everyone walks around and goes, you gotta give it up for Betty White. You know, you gotta give it up for Bette Midler. Like, she just said the right thing. She never was in no trouble. You know, no scandals. And just, bam, just.
She fumbled the ball.
Interception. Just dancing like Freaky Prince against the mountain.
Come on, they got fucked up.
And got fucked up, man. I said, God damn, man.
Running through the middle and they got popped.
Like, I know we're not supposed to feel bad when people fucked up, but I felt bad. I was like, look at this motherfucker. God damn, you were so close.
I will room for you.
Mm-mm-mm.
And she fucking tried, up somebody's white woman fantasy team. What's happening here?
And she doubled down before she did the, like, try to take it back shit. I'm like,
you were
girl.
Doing so good. Then they got all the negative points.
I'm like, yeah, now this is gonna stick with you for a long time because no matter, like, you gonna die. It doesn't matter how you die. You will die at some point. And some motherfuckers on Twitter will be like, remember when? Screenshot, screenshot. I'm like, damn. Do you understand how hard it is to live a life as a public white woman and for us to have no receipts on you being fucked up? That is very rare. Like, we didn't even have the proposed receipts. Like, with Taylor, it wasn't even necessarily, like, quote-unquote proof sometimes. Some of it was, like, the alt-right likes her and she ain't say that she don't like them motherfuckers. It was stuff like that. This shit is Bette Midler and she ain't never even had that kind of scandal. And she was so close.
So close. There's a lot of niggas that love her and they hurt their feelings.
Happens every day, man. But yeah, it's a no for me just to be safe. I feel you. I appreciate y'all answering my question then. Especially those of y'all that came in on the joke. But I'm gonna be honest, all those answers still kept it too serious. these are jokes, guys. There is no cookout. Everybody really acting like someone gonna show up with these tickets.
I already told you the ones that you've been handed out are revoked.
I know.
I done put it in the machine.
Well, mm-hmm. I might as well keep handing them out then. 1766 Thoughts and Prayers. This is where we had JL Covan on talking about his new album, Thoughts and Prayers, and his podcast, Making Podcasts Great Again.
Mm-hmm.
D Ramsey PhD says 5 stars, great shows as always. I agree with JL Covan. The Rock must learn to say no and stand firm in his response. Like, don't he? That motherfucker take any movie.
He about that money.
You can be like,
I ain't even mad at him.
You be like, hey man, I'm about to actually record a movie on my VCR. He'll show up and be like, I heard you was recording a movie.
I heard you was paying.
Michelle says, I know I'm being petty, but I've read that Taylor Swift is friends with Kushner's brother, so I'm confused. Remember, this is the same person whose career was built on manipulating social media. Whatever made her speak up, it must have been big enough deal for her not to worry about her image anymore. Yeah, that's the most cynical way of taking it, probably. Either that, or she could just stop giving a fuck. You know, there's another thing where you get established, you get enough money, you get enough time, and then you can start saying shit that, you know, you really feel, or you just get older and you stop giving a fuck, which I've experienced. You know, I think we look at celebrities like they different, like they're these machines, mm-hmm. but, you know, I think a lot of times people tell you what to and not to say and what not to do, and you do it because you're young and these people have experience, and they tell you shit like, hey man, don't delve into this topic. You know, is you got fans that are like this, you're gonna alienate your fans with this shit. And you do that shit long enough, you get rich enough, it's like, well, I guess everybody was right, I should just shut the fuck up and get paid. But my guess is, and I feel like I said this on the show and maybe it got ignored, but I'm gonna say it again here, my guess is between the Kesha thing, her being groped by that man, the backlash from that shit from her own peoples, mm-hmm. white people,
come on,
mostly defending that man, dismissing her, and then the Kavanaugh nomination,
mm-hmm. that woke a lot of their eyes up.
My guess is it got a bridge too fucking far
she
for her.
Was like, fuck it, I've had enough, what you gonna do, bitch, I'm rich, you can't tell me shit.
That's my guess. I don't know her, I don't keep up with her. Maybe it's just like you said, some type of really calculated like you know, machinations that she's gonna somehow come out of this as an even bigger star. She actually is secretly Republican and doesn't give a fuck about any of us and or herself and all that shit. Maybe it's what you think. My guess would be like what I said, you know, she just got a lot of white women were hurt by that Kavanaugh shit in a way that they weren't hurt by any of the other stuff.
Correct.
I'm not saying that's right either. I think that's privilege. You 2 years in, you just now getting mad? But yeah, I think a lot of white women were hurt when they saw like them put up a dude that literally was unqualified and had this rapey ass history behind them, and they were like, y'all women need to shut the fuck up. and he assaulted a white woman, which is probably the most important part, because if that would have been some sister up there, if that had been Anita Hill again, I don't think they would have cared
at all.
But something about seeing this established white woman that could have been their mothers,
come on, are they sisters,
up there still having to deal with this shit because we let a groper in chief take office, and you can't even trust, you know, your own people, your own white women to have your back because they up there supporting this nigga. My guess is she felt motivated in a way that she hadn't been before. The same way that I believe Beyonce was motivated by the deaths of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown and all that shit too. Like, we're human. We're all human. We all have this. Most of y'all start talking about racial shit more and more as Black Lives Matter and Obama came around.
I know that's the truth for me. Like, isn't this the, and I've always felt certain ways about certain things, but I was never as vocal about them. And yes, after a lot of stuff started happening, and you know, and I think, once you realize, you know, shit can affect you, but once the Black Lives Matter, you started seeing the marches, you started seeing people upset, you started seeing the videos, that shit hit a lot of people, because it's like these white women, you could relate. Like, a lot of people I've come to the conclusion on a lot of shit, people don't care unless they can relate. Right. So I don't care how you get to the answer, as long as you can relate. And your answer is us both going in the same direction. Fuck it. I had to be like that about men and how men view women. It's fucking frustrating that for some men, the only way I can get you to realize a woman is another human being. Go, what about your sister? What about your mama? You know, all that other right. bullshit. But fuck it. You got here. I don't care. Like, I had to give that up, because if you are constantly bashing somebody for getting there and then wonder why they don't get there, and sometimes you can actually be a hindrance just bashing them. A lot of people don't understand that either. Sometimes you got to be like, I don't care how you got there. As long as you got there, come on, let's go. My thing is that once somebody gets to the point that they are willing and able to help, you don't get mad at them for wanting to help. You don't get mad at them for doing this shit that you fucking complain about all the time. People complain all day long on fucking social media how they want white people to get their own and how they want them to speak to their own and how they want to stand up to their grandma. Niggas say this all the fucking time. Then they do it and you still got them complain. What do you want from them?
Yeah, it's stupid because, like, I've seen people do the, like, white women gather your own. Taylor Swift comes out, hey, my fans, I'm a Democrat. We need to vote Democratic. And these Republicans are trash. Bitch, not you. You know we don't like you.
Come on.
What do you really want? What do you, like, I don't know, man. Like, do you want to win or do you want to be mad? Like,
right, because you can be a hindrance complaining.
Yeah, like, let's just win. I don't give a fuck.
Me
I want
either.
To win.
Yeah, like I treat it like math. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 0 = goddamn 2. 3 - 1 = motherfucking 2. I don't give a fuck. It all equals 2. Just, we here. Let's go.
The other thing that I think is interesting is something you said. That Trayvon really was a awakening point for you and an activation point for you. There's a lot of niggas that's true about. They won't say it because now it's been 8-10 years and they've been quote unquote activated and they've been talking like this and they in their minds they've forgotten they weren't always like that. You know, there's a lot of people I know that had white friends and after Trayvon they don't have white friends anymore.
Come on.
You know, I had white friends. You know, like I didn't grow up with white friends, but I had some. I collected a few. Okay.
And
like 23,
yeah,
21
for years too.
Yeah. And we played they put me on the fantasy football and you know, they were cool. Yeah. I wasn't like the tightest nigga with them. I wasn't like going camping and shit with them. Not that there's anything wrong with black people that do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I wasn't that nigga. Like I was like, oh, y'all going to the bar to watch sports? I'll show up. Mm-hmm. And then I would go home or whatever. They would get drunk and shit. I didn't really do that. And for me, it was, the election of Trump. 'Cause we had an email chain. And they would just not be, they didn't understand the danger.
Mm-mm.
And how serious I felt about this man.
Right,
this
you didn't
racist.
Take it as a fucking joke.
Right, and it just festered to a point where I was like, I don't really want to be down with any of y'all because I can never have this energy around me. Like, you need to understand that I am deadly serious about the threat that this man poses to us. And so, that, like, I was affected by that, right? And I think people act as if that only happens to them individually but no one else, and we definitely act like that about celebrities, but I don't think that's true. I think celebrities see the news the way we see the news. Celebrities hear shit the way we hear shit, and while they may have privilege or fame or what, you know, things that a lot of people are jealous of and covet, they still human and they still get affected. And this is what happens. Like, sometimes some of them go, okay, I have to say something. You possibly listening to this right now, you probably used to be a person that didn't say something all the time, and now you might be a person that says something all the time. You might be a person listening right now and you still a person that doesn't say something all the time. Some of y'all go to your jobs, you say you listen to us because we make you feel like you're not crazy. Why do you feel crazy? Is because no one's going to just take what you say when you speak up at your job or in your social circles and understand, because you're coming from a perspective that they don't really understand or respect. So there's some bravery to this, even in her position, because she's going to lose some things,
right? And people act like that's not a fact, but that is
right. And the part that bothers me is I'm now in a position, if we're gonna keep it funky and no jokes at all, I'm in a position of feeling like I have to balance the commentary for this fucking privileged ass white woman. I don't want to do that, but I also do have a sense of levity and fairness within me that makes me want to be like, hey, this is like, y'all kind of are tripping right now. This is what you said you wanted. Let's just get what we want and leave. We don't actually, like, this literally, no offense, is her business. I really don't care about her fans.
Mm-mm.
Or her. Like, just vote the way we need y'all to vote and we'll be straight. I actually don't care. Gather your own people and y'all go do your thing. I don't want to be involved.
Right. It really don't have to involve us. Actually, you know, you getting mad is not going to change the end result. You know, and my thing is that when you think about the history, yeah, white people fuck up, da 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 da. But some people are like, I'm not giving a white woman credit for shit. The people out there, I don't like white women. Why white women are just fucking terrible. You know, it's been a lot of black women who have had white women as really close friends. They start talking. All of a sudden, guess what? You ain't invited to the potluck no more. You ain't invited to the family gatherings no more. All of a sudden,
you found out you wasn't friends.
Right, and you find out that you are black again. Like, you find not again, some people, this is the first time, but you find out that you're different. You find out that you're black. You find out that, hey, y'all don't really care about me or my humanity. You don't really care.
There are a lot, and I say this with love, there are a lot of black women that I know who personally have been hurt by white women, and it's happened in the wake of all the racial shit within the last 10 years. They have been hurt, and they are carrying that hurt around, and anything that happens, they gonna bring it up. And it's not that it's not valid, it's very valid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this shit is historic. I've gone through this show before and broke down, like, yo, this shit comes through slavery. Like, white women's innocence at the detriment of black women, and the demagoguery of black women and their femininity, and trying to strip them of that, and it's an attack on black women every fucking day, all day. And it has been from the second that black women arrived on these shores. You know, I'm not even just talking about patriarchy within blackness. I'm just saying from white women specifically. Right. This has been a rivalry. It has been a war. It has been whatever you want to call it. And it hasn't always been, it's never been two-sided. It's always been one-sided. So there are going to be some sisters that are like, I literally just don't like this bitch because she's white, and I understand. I'm not even trying to convince them to like her or anything like that. But when I'm giving my commentary on it, when we're talking about shit on the show, I'm not gonna get trapped in that where I'm like, nah, fuck that. We fuck this bitch. Somehow this ain't good either. Like, nah, you did the thing everybody wanted you to do. Bye. Thank you. Let's go. Moving on. We're going to the next topic. We don't have to be like, hopefully it's the last time we have to talk about this shit. You know what I mean?
Right,
to be honest,
right.
I don't look forward to this. Like, I saw the news and was like, oh, she did that?
Good for her. And went on about my motherfucking life.
Could have been that. Instead, it was, well, what about if you look at it this way? There's not really a way I want to look at this shit other than you did the minimum thing that people asked you to do. Can we move on? Like, good. You know, it's like with Jay-Z's thing coming out talking about toxic masculinity, how it affected him. Okay, you can either be mad at every black man that's ever been a piece of shit, or we can be like, okay, finally one of them did the thing everybody wanted him to do. He's doing the work, he's talking about it, he's spreading the word. Cool. You know, do we have to tear him down too now, like, so that we basically make it a zero-sum game where if you do the thing we tell you to do, fuck you. If you don't, fuck you. Because essentially, I just want to say fuck you every morning. Like, I don't want to be involved in that. I don't need that energy around me. So, you know, you did the thing that people wanted you to do. Some people are going to applaud you because it's so rare. That's how low the bar is.
Right.
That's life.
And you can't ignore that. And I do understand the fact that some people are like, which I understand some in the chat room say you shouldn't get extra credit for the bare minimum. But guess what? A lot of people ain't fucking hitting the bare minimum. And that's the problem.
Right.
If more people were hitting that line, I could see you being more demanding on them stepping above it. Okay. Like, I could see that. But when you have most white people that are like below it and way below it, it's like, well, damn, dog. It's like, no, you ain't a superstar for doing this. I'm glad you're here. I'm not going to throw a party. But at the same time, I'm just glad you're here.
Yeah, I like I said, I get it. I get it too. I do, because it's like resentment and anger and, this is just what you should do. But I've lived a life in America that's shown me that should is not should.
Oh, no.
It's never a given. And so I personally, the way I'm set up is like, oh, you're not going to do the racist thing? Wait, you actually going to do the not racist thing? well, thanks, cool, let's go. Like, right. That's it. It don't have to be like, and then balloons came out the air. It's just kind of like, cool.
You ain't gonna get no confetti. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not throwing a fucking party, but I do understand. And
yeah, but the thing is, it's easier and it's funnier and it's fucking, and you fit in with the crowd when you just go, fuck this person no matter what they do. That's the part that bothers me. You know, I don't want to let other people lead my actions to where I'm doing shit like that, because that's not true to myself. You know, and it's hypocritical as fuck, because there's gonna be somebody that you don't do this for, and I'm gonna look at you and be like, huh, so in this case we need to hear Cardi out. Okay, like, it's just interesting that we, no grace, no slide, no improvement, no she could have learned, nothing genuine about this other person, but it's different for them. All right, cool. The Migos said that, and now, but that's not homophobic. Okay, cool. Y'all cool. Y'all, maybe it's because that's who you listen to. I don't know what the rules are for everybody, but I just want to be consistent for myself. But I understand y'all's petty. Anyway, classic R&B lover.
I do too. And before we move on, one thing I want to say, I think for me, not only with Trayvon Martin, I think for me, the thing that actually did the switch, and you know, and I guess growing up down south, dealing with older black people, I always had an idea and sense like racism and the racial tension. But when you're young, and I know most of my immediate family was here at CMS, they went to separate schools, and some of my aunts and stuff was here when the schools first got integrated. They had to deal with the racial wars and things like that. Some of their opinions are going to be very different than mine, because me growing up, I always grew up in school system where everything was mixed. So, but me, you growing up, I didn't really think anything of like race and racism, truth be told, until I got a little bit older. But once I got grown and got out into the world and started experiencing life, it made my views change. But I truly think the thing that actually was the turning point, Trayvon Martin, and when we was at the old place, me and you, I think it was me and you sitting there watching Ferguson. We was watching Ferguson on TV. And I seen the tanks, and I seen just the way that they were treating people, and that's the thing that kind of broke my heart and made me realize, oh, this country as a whole, I knew it, but it's something about fucking seeing it, like seeing it, and it's not an old clip from 1952. It was like, no, what I'm seeing is happening right here, right now, in my country, which is something the motherfucker told me we had goddamn got over. I'm just keeping it real. It's like, no, we're not over this shit. Like, this shit right here is real time on my TV right now. I see how you're treating my people. And it broke my heart. And it's something about that was like, you know what? Fuck it. I got to say something.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is that people don't want to admit that this was a process for them. And that's the part that bothers me. Because on that, we are the same.
Right.
On that, we all do have a similarity and a commonality that we could be talking about and bringing people in and like commiserating over. We could be doing that. But we don't do that for the most part. Because everyone's looking at it like, I'm on lap 7 and you're on lap 6, so fuck your whole journey. You don't know shit and you ain't worth shit. You haven't caught up to me yet. And it just, to me, it just ruins the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So to see, like, you know, and I understand we're emotional, we're people in pain, people, I get it, but I feel like that's kind of whack, because there are people out there who are obstinate, who refuse to move, who run the opposite race of you, who run against the grain of you, who really do want to see you die, destroy, and nothing good ever come to you. And that there is some nuance there that where it's different than the person who's behind or the person that you wish would step up more or do better. Because some people are willing to meet you there. And agreed. Some aren't. When I see a sign that someone might meet me there, I'm more of a, okay, let's see where this goes. As opposed to a, fuck you, you didn't meet me yesterday. You gonna try to meet me today? Fuck you.
Right.
You know, I'm not that person.
and the same. And also, for me too, is one of the things too, which a lot of people don't talk about. And we kind of talked about it, mm-hmm. where with all the black shit that was happening with, you know, Trayvon Martin and people dying in Ferguson, for the first time, a lot of people actually embraced their blackness. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of black people, light skin, dark skin, and everything fucking in between. It was like, oh, I'm a nigga too. Oh, for real, word. Yeah. Were, oh my God, I'm a nigga too. Like the reality,
right.
of how the country viewed them sunk in. The reality of I can't get to the point where race don't matter. I can't get to the point where I walk into a room, I look at everybody differently now. I look at my interactions differently now. I'm more aware of how people interact with me and how I interact with people. I'm more aware of how people perceive me, you know. And I think for me, the same thing I said before, I don't care when you get to your blackness, as right. long as you say you black, dog, let's go. I don't care where on the fucking color spectrum you fall. If you say I'm black, nigga, you black, I'm black, let's roll. And I think a lot of people in these circles, once they accept and wrap themselves around their blackness, and the thing about blackness overall, black people love black people. If you claim us, we will, even to our own fault, we will love you unconditionally, as you know, kind of mm-hmm. as a whole, you know, it, you know, with exceptions to that. And my thing is that I think for a lot of those people, once they get into the groups, they feel like, well, I've been hurt, so now my job is to kick everybody else out of blackness. And right. I have a problem with that.
It becomes, because a lot of them are coming from anger, because they've been either ostracized, kicked out of whiteness, or realize how toxic whiteness is, so they're running to blackness to protect them and wrapping themselves in blackness. And they're, you know, I'm blackity black activist, I'm blackity black selling this black t-shirt, I'm blackity black, my podcast is blackity black, everything blackity black, even though that's not how, you know, my life has not always illustrated that, but it has in the last 4, 5, 6, 8 years or whatever. And so suddenly you become you want to be the voice for black people. And then the first thing you do is you try to turn blackness into whiteness.
Right.
Like, we're going to group up and be, we're going to be as exclusive. We're going to kick people out of blackness. We're going to, oh, you're half black. You're no longer black. I need you to come all the way out and be this. You know who else does that? White people.
Come on.
White people created the one drop rule.
Yes, they did.
You know, like we do, like I'm not going to ever let some motherfucker turn me into what I hate about white supremacy, but from a black perspective, I'll never let it happen. If that's what people need to feel to protect themselves, they can do that. But I'm not those people.
Mm-mm.
And I think, when you have that mentality of anger and hurt that you come from, your first agenda is to be like, these black people aren't black enough, because you see yourself there.
Right.
That's what, when you look at those people that do that, it's always somebody that I'm like, yeah, you was kind of like that. The Rock got to go, because you used to be the person that felt like you were seen that way. You know, like you didn't really embrace it enough for your taste. You know, even when you see people that try to like do this, like I hate this shit, but the people that are like, I'm basically racist against white people as my blackness.
Mm-hmm,
you know, you know what I mean? Where it's like, I'm gonna be racist to this to this white person in your presence or whatever, because it's gonna seem like, look how woke I am, I was mean to a white person. I'm like, that shit don't move me.
Mm-mm.
It might move somebody else, but I don't get off on that. None of that is my jam. So I'm trying to be myself and navigate. That's hard enough. To navigate the world as yourself is hard enough. To be performing and own for somebody, that's too much. But yeah, I think we are a good example of, because you know me, I've always been like, some black shit, what's this? You know, like, you know, let me read this book, let me right. watch this documentary, let me see this movie. I've been like that forever.
Yeah. And I had to work into it. I was like, whoo, I don't know about this now.
Yeah, even after like Trayvon, you were still kind of like, nope, I don't want to see no movies, I don't want to see no documentaries.
Because I was like, that's hurt and pain, and truth be told, I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't right. want to look it in the face. I didn't want to, you know, because I knew the reality. And because that's the thing about being woke, is you're woke now, so you're aware and you right. know. But being aware and quote unquote quote, thinking you know don't mean you actually know.
But you're very transparent is my point. You know, I'm not like, not, I'm not trying to harp on it. I'm saying people have watched your journey.
Yes.
And people haven't watched everybody else's journey. So some of these people are acting like they just popped out of the fucking womb, put up the black power fist and told these hunkies to kiss they black ass and shit. And
it didn't, like, nobody is there all of a sudden. Y'all know, y'all watched me from being relaxed to having a fro, so y'all been on a journey with me.
Yeah, so, you know, and not necessarily that, you know, that's, I'm sure there's some natural hair conservative black women and shit. Like,
of course.
I, like, my point just being, like, it's a journey for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then we end up at these pivotal moments where somebody takes a step on their journey, and when I see people turn on them, and it's kind of like, but y'all said y'all wanted this.
Right.
So I don't know what else to tell you.
What do you really want? You right got now, what you wanted, and now you're still complaining.
Right. Now I'm looking at you and going, you didn't actually want that. You just like being mad.
All right. And all of a sudden, you become the problem.
Classic R&B lover says, aside from JL, Voices hands down, the best moment was Rob becoming Karen and not knowing who any of the white people are when it came to white people news. This is true. I mean, when Karen realizes that Pat Benatar is a woman, as Rod is calling Pat a man, hilarious. FYI, I'm going to cop Thoughts and Prayers this weekend. Good for you.
We got our copy. Thank you,
JL. He mailed us a copy. Yeah. We got it sitting in another room. Classic R&B lover says, aside from JL's voice, his hands down the best. Oh, wait. I just said that. Kyle says, listen to it on Tidal. Great stuff. Now I have to check out his podcast. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
Even, keep in mind, the Righteous Prick podcast, not always a laugh riot, but, making podcasts great again is. And I only say that because Righteous Prick is sometimes sad and it's about his inner thoughts.
Yes, you're going through his personal journey, right?
Evie E says, I couldn't bear to watch the minstrel show in the White House. I never thought there would come a day when Don Lemon would be the wokest person in news television, and Kanye, who once said George Bush doesn't care about black people, is shucking and jiving for a little racist. As Karen would say, what is happening here?
Come on.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Don't really want to see it.
I didn't see it either.
I think I would just be saddened by it. Mm-hmm. And then the Don Lemon thing is very interesting because I've seen a lot of people welcome him back to the cookout, and I really just feel like Trump personally insulted that dude, and so he changed his brand because Obama's out of office. Like, it's,
yep.
Like, I think if Hillary Clinton was still in office, he'd be like still telling black people to pull our pants up. I don't think Don Lemon's changed that much.
Mm-mm.
You know, but good. I mean, he also seems, from what I've heard of him, to not care.
Right.
So. Who's more influential, Kanye West or Taylor Swift? 74% of y'all said Taylor Swift, and 76 said Kanye West. To which, if that's the case, then I'm glad that she came out as a Democrat, especially if he's gonna be out here talking about being a Republican and shit.
Come on.
Rockstar says, I would say Kanye is more influential since he can rile up most of the African American community with his inflammatory positions, as well as be a beacon for Republicans and racists that believe and regurgitate his ignorant messages. Not to mention, he had two meetings with 45. Side note, I truly think Kanye is butthurt that Jay-Z and Beyonce got to hang with President Obama. Obama wanted nothing to do with the tire fire that is Kanye. 45, on the other hand, is a circus and always willing to put another clown in the show. Taylor Swift seems to be trying to reach out to her younger fans. The older Republicans that seem to be trying to that denounced Taylor probably weren't listening to her music anyway. There's not enough honky tonk in her music. Keep up the great work, Rod and Karen. Thanks, Rockstar.
Thank you.
And yeah, I do agree that I don't agree that Kanye is more influential necessarily. But I do agree what you said about 45 just inviting him to the White House because he don't give a fuck and he likes a circus. So I do agree with that part. But I do think that President Obama calling him a jackass and making jokes about Donald Trump at the press dinner. Those things are probably what led to both of those dudes flipping the tables, because they are some egomaniacs, and that's before Kanye and the diagnosis and all that shit. Kanye always been very self-absorbed, so I do think that
his music has told people that for years.
Yeah, I don't think they necessarily have political positions. I really mm-hmm. think they just both went fuck Obama. What was he on? Well, I'm on the opposite.
Agreed.
Laketta says she's white. That's true. That's probably why she's more influential. I don't know. All right, and lastly, 1767 was our Walking Dead review. And we got four comments. Gregory, episode 1767, Gregory gets the swing vote. D Ramsey PH Dunn says 5 stars, love this review. I have missed the Rick and Michonne show. Thanks Rod for the reminder about the Civil War and how the show ties into the theme of the episode. Daryl does not possess much in the area of intrapersonal skills.
Mm-mm.
And Gregory ain't shiggity. Law says, the Lord put it on my spirit to chant Herschel's daughter ain't nothing to fuck with. Heavyweight says, been listening to the show for a few years, but this is the first time I've been able to listen to the recast as the season progresses, rather than binging the recast after watching the season on Netflix. A nigga grew up and got a TV streaming service. Ah! For starters, the new title sequence really is nice. I like the nods to growth and new life. So far, I'm feeling optimistic about the new showrunner. I'm guessing it was her idea to back off of the coup and go with more subtle dissolution of alliances. I feel it's coming. Jesus would have listened to that plan, agreed to it, and then immediately went against it like he would must have done with the plan to kill all the saviors last season, right?
Oh,
like, that's the thing. I'm like, why is Jesus in this room? Because he know his ass ain't built for all this. And yo, white people love animals. Ain't no way I'm running up on a spook quarter horse so I can risk my life to cut it loose. I'm with you, Rod. I would have had to be hella pettiest in that sit down with his parents. No, he didn't die for a broken plow. He got himself killed trying to save a damn horse, and we told him not to.
Come on, that's exactly what I would have said.
I'm also wondering, with Carol taking over for the failing sanctuary, will we get the return of prison Carol? The Carol that will burn a few people for the betterment of the whole. She was on one. Snap her fingers and have half the saviors dusted so the other half can live. Lastly, a final fuck you to Gregory. When Maggie stopped short with the knife, I worried she still wasn't going to finish it. When the camera panned up to his bitch ass tied there, my heart leapt with joy. LOL. Keep up the great recaps. Listen.
Oh, he had to go.
I will miss that dude because he was so good at that role. But
he was.
He needed to go.
Because he was going to continue to be a problem.
Shout out to Maggie. EVE says, I already said it, but I think this bears repeating for Gregory. Bye, nigga. The poll was, will Ezekiel and Carol make it to the altar? Yes, they will get married. Or no, one of them is dying before they can get wed. Karen, what do you think?
I think they're going to get married.
All right, well, you're in the minority. 24% think they will get married. 76% think one of the motherfuckers is dying before they can meet each other at the altar.
I mean, this is The Walking Dead. I understand that. I'm trying to be hopeful.
Right. Oh, man. All right, let's get to the emails. Tiffany writes in, this is Dr. Tiff, who says, reversing Roe. Hey, Rod, thank you. Thanks to you and Karen for simply existing. You are amazing human beings and my favorite dynamic duo. I want to suggest watching Reversing Roe on Netflix to you all. Powerful. So many answers. I guess it's about reversing Roe v. Wade or something. Yeah, I love documentaries on Netflix, to be honest, so I don't mind checking it out. Yeah, if I can add it to my queue, I'll check it out. I got so much shit I'm behind on, but I'm gonna add it. Kavis writes in, this is the note she sent with her donation, but then she sent it back because it's like it sends it as one block of text and all this stuff.
Because it's easy to read it, yeah.
And it was really long, so here we go. I would have been playing I Smile for like 3 hours. Hey, Rob and Karen, love the show. I've been listening to the podcast since 05, and y'all were the only ones doing a show a day for free or otherwise. So, yeah, y'all definitely deserve vacations. Time off, PTO, sick days, and a few other, fucking my bed needs me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Listen, I'm taking that lesson to heart. Like, anytime y'all be like, we only got 4 episodes this week, nigga, sometimes I need sleep. But I wanted to say, Rod, don't sleep on Secure. I really think it would be an amazing show. Think of it. A crew, a job environment where every episode or someone's insecurity summons their inner petty and maybe even scheming energy. And cause they're insecure, they try to place the drama on Mrs. Secure. Yeah, she is a queer woman of color, LOL. Besides seeing Miss Secure enjoy the best life, maybe cracking a joke and willfully falling prey to her less than woke guilty pleasures, we only see her when it's time for her to artistically sidestep the BS from the non-secures or read them for filth about their fuck ups and insecurities. And if they and if they're a friend, why they need to do better before she does the latest dance move on her way off the stage. Yeah, I'll see, my version of Secure was not even that. It's everybody on the show is secure. I want a boring show.
Right, nobody was insecure.
I want everybody making the right decisions at the right time. No drama. Getting everything out works life. Out. No, nothing bad ever happens. And just so I can be petty and watch everyone tell me that show is trash, is boring, and they don't like it. Cause I'm gonna be like, but it's the perfect representation that y'all say y'all like.
Come on.
You know, I won't, look, we got all this positivity. It's like, oh, y'all realize something, huh? It takes people with flaws to make a show interesting because nobody want to watch people be perfect.
Nope.
P.S. I wouldn't say this Kanye is a new Kanye as much as I say it's an evolved Kanye. It seems like some people forget that evolution don't necessarily mean better. No tea, no shade. After all the purse dogs used to be wolves, Kanye has been a part of that. Let's love racist racism. The type in its more extreme versions that argue it's all our responsibility to have interracial babies, forgetting that again, because of genetics, some people will always be lighter or darker than others. Look at white people and their internalized racism. How even if a movie has a good white person versus a bad white person plot, the bad white person has dark or black dark hair. Usually I like getting it in too, but sex ain't always the solution. LOL. That combined with the sexism that is particularly on display in hip hop makes it apparent that he the type to love racist. Like when racists translate blacks are unfree and savage brutes, that's only good for physical labor, to black people are just so naturally masculine that they're tough, physically amazing in sports, and their dominant nature is just what men do. Yeah, it strips femininity and maybe to some extent womanhood from black women, but it also shows the slave owners house their slave side of racism that appeals to all import ego of some black men, as it would most men that buy into toxic masculinity like Kanye. That dovetails into how black supremacy is often birthed by white supremacy, and how many maybe men telling women to be delicate or weak as a virtue is a way to exacerbate strength differences, to make rape and violence against women easier, domesticating for domestic abuse. So after the fact people can argue whether she was the bitch that drove him crazy or a slut, but I've typed enough and I'm still trying to unlearn the nuances of sexism. That was sarcasm in case the text don't translate it well. A tangential example in his interview saying Tiger should have got her while she was young. Don't get me wrong, I understand part of it may be a coping mechanism, like how I think religion is for many people, but at the end of the day, once it starts harming others and yourself, you got to start addressing the issue. Even the whole rant about it was a choice is actually what many people, including black people, believe until the implicit connection is brought to their attention. Think of all the times people say stuff like life is what you make it, therefore they made it slavery. Anyway, sorry about the long facetious email rant. Keep up the awesome content. That was a lot. I do not even know where to start with all that. I think I got the gist of some of what you said. I'm not sure I'm 100% on point with everything. I do think, if we're going to talk about Kanye again for a second, I do think he has always had these seeds. I don't know about the love racist part, to be honest. I didn't pick that up from him, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't there. Oh wait, we got two more feedbacks. Let me see the time. All right, cool. But I do think he has always been a very misogynist. I think he has always been a person that worshipped at the feet of white women and white womanhood. Even when he said it was a joke, he meant it. We see by his actions that when you get on, you leave your ass for a white girl and all this stuff. Like, he meant that shit. And he went and did it. And I don't put it past him that he harbors some fucked up stuff about race, because we all do.
Come on.
So yeah, if you want to call it an evolution, I don't want to get caught in the semantics of it. Right. Sure. I'm not really trying to. I just feel like to a lot of people, his racial awareness made them feel like, well, then he won't take this path. I know I didn't think he would take the path that he's taking. I didn't see Make America Great Again in his future.
Same.
And not from the dude that wrote Slave Ship, not from the dude that made crack music, you know, I don't know. I just didn't see it coming, and I'm not gonna be ashamed of that. Like, if y'all felt it coming from a long time ago, that's cool. But I didn't see it coming. I just thought, I think it's all sad. And, you know, some of it I knew he would be problematic, because most black men are problematic. But I don't know. I didn't think, this one threw me for a loop, you know, and I'm okay admitting that. Anyway, but even if he wouldn't have never done this, he still had issues before this. Issues with women, yes. Issues with race, issues with a bunch of shit. Tristan says, hey Rod and Karen, I'm no longer outraged. I jumped off the Kanye train a while back. The only thing that bothers me is the fact that he doesn't seem to care or notice how much his visibility is hurting black people. Being used as a measuring stick by white people is never a good look. It isn't.
Agreed.
I just think he don't care. Walking Dead review. I didn't realize Maggie left her baby on the ground till you said it. She was big mad. When she told Gregory, you can't even murder people, right? I heard her silent, ya bitch. After that, happy that she hung his ass. He needed to die. Negan has to die. I don't see a way around it. Maggie and Daryl are not going to move on. I wonder if this is going to be a Maggie heavy season, considering she has a new show on ABC with Jake from Scandal. Could this be her last season? She is trying to move on, but I heard that they're trying to retain her, so I don't know. Lastly, I wanted to touch on your Taylor Swift speaking up and people being activated by the Supreme Court pick. I understand what you guys are saying. It's better that they got here than they didn't. For me, though, I realize that my least favorite Twitter threads are the Today I Stopped Being a Republican threads. I've never seen those. Listen, when I tell y'all mm-hmm. I don't have white people around me, I don't mean it on some, like,
I ain't seen that before
either. Performative shit that a lot of people do to tell you how woke they are. Like, I would never have a white person. No, I just mean it coincidentally. I don't have a lot of white people around me in general, like social media wise. I don't follow or read their shit. I know I'm insulated in a very black circle. I know I am. I'm aware of that. I know my opinions aren't really popular with the rest of the world.
Agreed.
Even if they're popular among my folks. So all that to say, I've never seen no shit like that and don't want to. Like, I completely understand how you could be like, it took you this long. It is annoying. Like,
that's the thing, it's annoying. Yes, it is.
You know, I keep re-explaining myself. I just hope people aren't getting lost in the sauce, but this shit is annoying because you're watching someone of privilege explain to you what you already been telling their ass and what you feel like is a lesson you never had the luxury of not having,
right?
So I do understand. I don't want people to feel like it's caping. I'm just saying that because I operate on this, like, I'm a black cishet man. So I operate on this, like, at the intersection of I do understand and have certain levels of oppression and stuff that I feel, but there's also times when I'm in the patriarchal seat, right? So I understand being that bridge, and white women are that bridge. A lot of shit, cishet black women are still that bridge,
mm-hmm.
to be honest. I've seen them say transphobic and homophobic shit, and I'm like, how did you get here, sis?
Mm-hmm.
But the point being, it does, just because we are fed up and we got here already and we understand, it doesn't change their journey into some, like, you know, like, fuck you then, you know? So I get it. It is annoying. I wouldn't read that shit if I was you. I wouldn't, you know, if it really wasn't for the show, I don't think I would have read Taylor Swift's fucking Instagram post.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, I make it, it's funny on the show to call her Tay Tay and shit, but real talk, I don't really fuck with Taylor Swift. Like, Karen's never walked in and heard me listen. I've never heard any other songs than, like, Shake It Off and Trouble, maybe. Like,
I don't even know if I heard that one. Shake It Off, been it for me.
Yeah, like, it's mostly a joke, but in general, like, if she wants to come over and be like, I also don't fuck with Republicans, of course I'm down with that. What's the other thing? Her stay silent or go, I am a Republican? I'd rather you be like, fuck them. That is the ideal situation. So
agreed.
Anyway, I feel you. I've never seen those threads, and I'm sorry you had to see them. It shouldn't take this long for people to get it. It's fucking crazy. I'm conflicted. I'm not sure how to get past it. Now it's emotional, man. I'm sure when y'all hear men talk about, like, I had a daughter and I realized that the way I treated women, I'm sure that y'all, like, eyes rolled to the back of your fucking skull. Like,
oh yeah, I had to, like I said, it's still something that irritates me, but yeah. Not as much as it did before, because when men used that shit, I used to get like a visceral, like the anger would just engulf me, like, bitch, what? you know, but that's kind of calmed down over the years.
It is what it is, man. Like, I've been trying to just indicate that I do understand the other side of this, and for mm-hmm. people that are like, I'm too mad to get over it or to let it go, you're not wrong, but I don't have to join you in your anger is what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, we operate differently, you know, and I say this even for shit that does directly 100% affect just me. Even in my own personal life, I'm like, I can be mad about this thing, or I can try to find a way to move on from this thing, because I'm not the kind of person that can do both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to be honest with themselves, because a lot of people, from the things I'm seeing, aren't the kind of people that can do both.
Mm-hmm.
They think they can. Like, I've heard that, I don't got to forgive, I don't got to move on, I don't have to do this. And then I'm like, you still bringing this up and you still stuck here. It's been years. You haven't moved on. Ask yourself a question. You know what I mean? But yeah, she also goes on to say, y'all need to invent a pun award, because Tanner, have you met my son Tan, has had me laughing all week. Thank you for the awesome shows. Thank you, TK.
Thank you.
And yeah, man, I completely understand, and I'm, you know, I'm human too, and I've definitely had it just changes. Like, someday there's times where I can move on and I get it, and there's times when I can't. So all right, last one. Oh shit, we almost at the break. I'm gonna pause and go to the next session. Give me a second. All right, so we're in the next session. Let's go ahead and get into the last email. Be Touch writes in, what up, homie? He says, hey, Rod and Karen, just a real quick email to say that I really enjoyed this past week's shows, as you all helped make a little bit of sense of the and levity out of what is quickly becoming bizarre world. And a great big special thank you to Karen for being a guest on the Say Something Nice podcast this past week.
Yes, I had a blast with them.
Yeah, I listened to it. It sounded like I had a great time. And they talked about Venom and but like a bunch of nerd stuff, really, movies and all this stuff. Like, I'm always impressed by how much research and shit B-Touch knows. Just in general,
I told him, man,
he knows everything.
You be talking and all of a sudden he'd be like, well, you know, back in 1952 they made that on an 8mm tape, and you know, back in 1801 the director died and another director took his place and they used a pseudonym. I'd be like, well, god damn, right. Walking dictionary,
right? He just throws some random, it's like, okay, I would have never known that shit. Appreciate you.
Right.
I was out here looking stupid, you know, but
I'm like, thank you, the more you know.
Right, exactly.
That's how I feel every time he talk, like a star go across his head.
But yeah, so that was an excellent episode, and it was funny listening to y'all recap Venom, and he had a really good Venom impression, so that was funny.
I had a ball with them.
Yeah, you two have been awesome, both been awesome, and I know your trip to California will be a great time, great success. Best regards, Be Touched. Thank you. Yeah, California, man, 2 weeks from now we'll be in Cali and UC Irvine.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are gonna want to check us out, okay? The whole day is a podcast symposium, so it's not just us.
Mm-mm.
But we are like the main event, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we are the headliners. I mean, you know how we do, you know.
Shout out to Bambi.
Yeah, so you might see us.
Dr. Bambi, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna disrespect you. You worked hard for that, baby.
Dr. Haggins.
Actually. Oh, my bad.
That's like calling your next door neighbor like Miss Rashida or whatever. Like, you know, she earned them degrees.
Yeah, you did.
Although, you know, I feel like we should just change the whole paradigm, because, you know, we say first name out of love down south.
We do.
So if we say like Dr. Bambi, that's because we see you as like you a doctor. Mm-hmm. We gonna give you but like
doctors in front of your name.
But you family too. You know what,
yes,
I'm saying?
You
like
are,
it's,
baby.
It's like both, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like maybe we should just change it to we do the last names for black people, and then we do the first names for white people. You know, like Dr. Greg, like from Love, the series on Netflix.
Dr. Greg!
You know, Dr. Phil, you know. But yeah, we are gonna be out there. It should be fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
It's Friday, October 26th. There'll be a breakfast at 8:30, 9 o'clock. And then they're gonna have Microphone Professors, a live podcast from 9 to 10. the serial effect. They talk and discuss with Isaac West, responses by Jim Lee and Jonathan Alexander from 10 to 11. Guest podcast is a trickle up effect, how to succeed in podcasts while trying really, really hard, with Fran Tirado, who's co-host of Food for Thought and moderated by Jonathan Alexander. Podcasting and the Business of Literature, that's from 12 to 1:30. Then it's a lunch presentation. Why Study Podcast from 1:30 to 2:30. Panel discussion with Allison Perlman, Isaac West, Oliver Wang, Karen Tongson, Bambi Haggins, Sarah Florini, who we know Sarah too.
Mm-hmm.
And The Art of Conversation, a workshop with Mike Gravagno, host of Writer's Block, co-host of Superhero Hour. Oh, it might be a typo. Superhero Hour. And Ryan Haley, host of The OC Disorder, co-host of Superhero Hour. That's right. All right. So then, the last one is guest podcasters, independent, unapologetically black, and keeping it 100. That's 3:30. The Blackout Tips and Comedic Social Discourse. And that'll be moderated by Dr. Haggins, so that'll be dope.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a reception from 4:30 to 6 and networking and stuff. So I know some people are like, y'all gonna have a meetup or anything? We'll probably maybe hit up the reception if anybody's interested in us. Mm-hmm. I don't know, signing things or taking pictures and shit.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Just do it after the panel. Like, let's just do it then. So UC Irvine on the 26th, like I said, the event starts, like, it's an all day event that starts at like 8 a.m. and shit, but our stuff is at 3:30 to 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like, there's directions to it and everything on their site.
Yeah, everything. Whatever. We posted everything across social media.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I think it's in the Humanities Gateway, 10:30 is what it's called, the number. 10:30. So all right, was there anything? Oh, we got a gift in the mail. So we had a listener
calendar.
Yep, we had a listener. I just can't hold it all at the same time.
No problem.
So we had a listener that came to the live show, and she was like, they were like, we have a gift for you, and I left it in my, I think they said they left it in there.
Some people's car,
or something, like,
yeah.
They're like, so, or their bags got lost or something.
Right, I remember somebody said their bags got lost.
Well, I didn't know this person came from fucking Alaska.
I know, all the way from Alaska, dog.
Alaska?
Shout out to you, baby.
My God. They got black people up there?
Well, I guess they do. We love you, baby.
So it says, Dear Rod and Karen, greetings from Alaska. I was in attendance at your first live podcast, and it was everything. I love and enjoy my time in Charlotte. Even experienced the nappy chef. Hey, turn up.
Yes.
Yum. I bought some gifts for you, but wasn't able to get them to you. Please enjoy these treats, from Alaska. Thank you for the laughs. I'll be at my desk trying hard not to die laughing tears. Your honest and positive thoughts and outlook and everything you make that makes you me want to be a better person and strive to live my best life. Enjoy the treats and thank you. Your friend in Fairbanks, Alaska, and it says Karen, K-A-R-R-E-N. Karen.
Oh.
Pronounced like car in the garage. All right, let me say this note.
Oh yeah, we put that. We got a drawer over here, y'all. Y'all send us cards. Them cards go back for years. I'm an old woman. I hold on to all y'all shit. I'm be like a grandma one day. I'ma pull them all out. I remember when our fan sent this to us years ago. Y'all don't know nothing about this paper.
Granny Karen.
I am. I'm be old. I'm gonna pull out them cards and start reading them again and start crying because we're gonna be on the 30th year doing the podcast. Watch and see, y'all.
So we got this calendar that was the Aurora Borealis, I assume Alaska's Northern Lights for 2019. I love calendars. I'll be hanging it up. You just saved me buying one extra calendar.
We have them everywhere.
I normally have a Michelle Obama calendar.
Oh, that's a must. We get one of them every year.
And now I will add this to one of the walls. We got blueberry bark, which apparently is an original Alaskan treat, luscious creamy white chocolate mixed with sweet dried blueberries. It's simply delicious. And I will simply be having some.
Come on.
Then we got salmon jerky, mango chipotle flavor.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Salmon jerky. This sound like, how did it keep that from getting you sick? How did it keep?
I don't know.
We got some Alaska Seafood Co. Wild silver salmon, canned smoked silver salmon.
Oh, I have to get a recipe on that.
Yeah, I don't know. We put that in some, put that, I had to find somewhere to put that in, like some tuna fish, salmon fish mix. I don't know.
Yeah, some salmon patties. Honey, we can do something with that.
We got some peppered Wild King salmon jerky. Eat like a grizzly, it says on the back.
Eat like a grizzly. Yeah, you better. The grizzly gonna eat you.
Moose nuggets, which moose sounds nuggets. sounds like what you would call moose turds, but, and the moose is smiling as if he did shit. And if you look on the back, it is his butt. So I don't know.
Why does it look like a Rocky and Bullwinkle?
I don't know if I should eat this one, but it's peanut butter filled pretzels. Oh, I'm definitely eating this moose's turds. We had Wild Alaska Salmon Dip from the Alaska Seafood Company. It's originally smoked. Just add cream cheese and friends. So, a lot of salmon in Alaska, apparently.
Oh, yeah. We like salmon, honey. You mess around, I'm going to have me some Chipotle-flavored salmon patties, and we're going to be going to town down here.
We got a magnet from Alaska.
Yes, that's going on my refrigerator. Yeah, I got a refrigerator full of magnets. I like magnets.
We got some blueberry hot cocoa from Alaska with rich chocolate.
Ooh.
Imagine plump, delicious blueberries. Now imagine them covered in chocolate. Now imagine them with whipped cream up in the steaming hot cup of cocoa. Wow, that's Cocoa Alaska's blueberry hot cocoa mix. You won't believe how good it is. No adventure is complete without the sweet treat of hot cocoa. Make it Cocoa Alaska. Oh,
baby, we will. We're going to Cocoa Alaska it up.
And the last thing, we got Alaska Gold Nuggets, which is birch cream caramels. And they're all wrapped in gold, shiny stuff.
Oh, thank you. We got a piece of Alaska.
And, of course, the Arctic Travelers Gift Shop where we got the bag. So, thank you, man. Like, y'all really be looking out for us, man. Like, y'all keep us surrounded by snacks. My whole house look like the Candy Lady house. Like,
we be trying all types of snacks.
I be trying like everything too. So
we trying everything. Thank you, and that means the world. We y'all be bringing us a piece of y'all world, and y'all don't know how much we appreciate it.
Yeah. So thanks, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Also this week, I know one of the episodes, I had to go tell y'all the exact episode. I had to look up the direct message. But I know that we should be having our crew from Medium Popcorn.
Yes, Medium Popcorn.
They are two niggas spoiling movies.
Yeah.
So we will be having them on the 15th, Monday, okay? So Monday we'll have them on, and we'll have a good time at 5 p.m. All right. So until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.